Christian Cage has got not one, but two title shots coming up. One for the Impact World title, one for the AEW World title. How has this happened and what is going to happen? We're going to talk about it in just a second. So stay tuned. This is the Elite Maniac Podcast.
You are now listening to the Elite Maniac Podcast. Remember to subscribe, follow, and leave a 5-star review.
What's up, people? Welcome to the Elite Maniac Podcast, where we discuss all things AEW and clearly Impact Wrestling now as well. My name is Mex, aka WrestleManiac UK. I'm alongside my co-host Mike, aka Kings Road Wrestling. A really fun show of AEW Dynamite we have to review today. We are obviously on the road to AEW Rampage this Friday, first ever show, so that's going to be fun to kind of look forward to. We've got some good matches on that card to discuss as well. But before we get into today's show, guys, please smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching along on YouTube. And if you are one of our audio listeners, please make sure you subscribe and follow us on your podcast platform of choice and leave us with a 5-star review. Let the people know the good work that myself and Mike do right here at the Elite Maniac Podcast. Mike, how have you been? What did you think of this week's show?
I've been good, pretty busy, you know, family is all here at my house. We're having a lot of fun, but this week's show, I might be in the minority here, but I really liked it. And I think I might have enjoyed it a little more than last week, but it was definitely a good watch. And yeah, I really can't complain about much, but what was your take on this?
Yeah, I thought overall it was an okay show. I feel like the shows are just a bit... in the last 2 weeks, they feel like something's missing. Obviously, we've seen a lot of CM Punk references and stuff like that. And we've got Rampage coming up. We've got All Out coming up. Mm-hmm. We've got the debut of Punk coming soon. I feel like the shows are, they're kind of building towards those moments.
Yeah.
So we're a bit in between-ish right now. The shows are still pretty decent, but I just feel like everyone's just on the edge of their seat now, waiting for
All Out,
waiting
yeah.
for Rampage, waiting for CM Punk. So, exactly. Yeah, it's just a bit, it's a bit flat, but we're still getting a lot of good action and stuff. A lot of good
great action. That is definitely true. For last night, a lot of good action. I got an interesting question for you before we get into this.
Let's go.
I made a controversial, opinion posts, and I said that I think that if this does happen next week with Punk coming in at the First Dance in Chicago, his hometown, I said that I don't see any other pop being louder than this. And I say that I'm going to preface the question, the statement by saying, you know, AEW has notoriously loud crowds. This is one of the biggest arenas in the United States, the United Center, and I don't think there's anybody that has been talked about as much as this guy, and he hasn't even been here for 7 years. That's why I said that. Now, do you agree that this could, I just don't see it. Like, and I'm including Attitude Era. Like, this is going to be massive if it does
happen. No way.
Dude,
nah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, wait. I was about to ask you, what are the biggest AEW pops?
Sting, Moxley, but Sting was even loud and there wasn't that many people. Like, the reason I'm saying this is because AEW, like, their crowds are notoriously loud. Like, and I'm just trying to find someone that's comparable.
I hear you.
Austin, maybe.
Yeah, and that's what where I know it can't be, because I've lived through, and I wasn't there, but I lived through watching some of those Austin pops, like, on a regular show. This is him just coming out in the main event, you know, to cause some chaos, and the building erupts. And obviously, I'm not to say, you know, CM Punk can't get that kind of reception, but I haven't seen anyone in wrestling match that kind of Austin reception. So for it to be CM Punk, I don't know. I don't know.
And I think, remember, there's a shot, man. I'm not saying definitely.
Yeah, well, maybe. Of course, there's a shot. This is someone that everyone's been clamoring for years. So
I think they're going to lose it, dude. I think they're going to lose their minds.
There's definitely a chance that that could happen. There's definitely a chance that could happen. It's just, you know, that, you know, most recently we saw Cena come back and Cena got a pretty loud pop a couple weeks ago when he returned. And people were saying that was the loudest pop ever. And I was like, what?
No,
like,
no, it wasn't.
No way. Like, no chance. So, yeah, I just think some of those, and it's, remember, it's different times, but those AEW crowds can probably be, you know, compared to those early Attitude Era crowds, because those Attitude Era crowds were rabid fans, like absolutely crazy guys and girls. So, yeah, I'll be surprised. I'll be taken aback. I'll be shocked. I'm gonna pop when I see CM Punk. That's for sure. I'm gonna pop. But
if he doesn't come, they really have dug themselves in a hole. Yeah, I don't see that happening, but there is always a slight possibility. And there's a lot of chatter online, like, if he doesn't come, like, I'm leaving the arena, like this and that. So.
If he doesn't come, they have the opportunity to still debut him at All Out, you know, the week on that weekend, or is it the following week?
It's in September, right?
It's the weekend. He's showing up. I don't know. It will be like a week away or whatever the case is. But they have the chance to show him up, you know, bring him out at United Center, at Rampage, or bring him out at All Out. And if they don't bring him out at either, that's when the problem is going to start.
That's when the problem's going to start. And we're also forgetting, you know, we also got Brian supposedly coming at Arthur Ashe. And I think that's going to be a really big one as well. And
that's going to be massive.
Man, when I was looking at this and these two debuts and this show that happened last night and looking through the roster and everything, and I just hope that they're able to mesh everything well and people aren't overshadowed. And that's what I'm kind of like concerned about. I'm not too much, but I really do hope that they're able to balance it, because there are some guys on the roster who are already there who I'm a really big fan of, you know. And but I'm excited. I think this Rampage show is going to be really good, and an addition to television, getting more people time. And obviously, you and I we want to talk about Rampage. So we are ironing that out for the podcast in the future. But we will get right into this Britsburg episode from. Yeah. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Even Victor Punk, big up to our good friend Victor Punk. He said that people were chanting CM Punk on yesterday's show. So
it was loud too. So
And Don Callis just kind of pretended like that wasn't happening.
Yeah, man.
During that segment. So yeah, very, very interesting.
So Dynamite last night was at Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or Britsburg. She really runs that city. And I had a fun watch last night, because I watched with my uncle and my cousin. My cousin's also an attorney. He's a little bit older than me, but they are wrestling fans from back in the 90s. And, you know, they know. My cousin knows a lot, and my uncle is just kind of like an older fan, doesn't really know much about AEW, but kind of a unique perspective of like the casual wrestling fan to see what was working, see what wasn't working. I always love doing that. But we started out with one of their favorites. They really just adored this guy, MJF. They thought he was money, and how can you deny that? He started off with a promo, he essentially said that Jericho's not going to win this last match against Wardlow, which if you watched it, you know what happened. And then he said that he is not going to beat MJF because he's still better than him. And then I thought a cool little line is, he said, Wardlow, you better handle this like you really handled Cody in the steel cage, like kind of a stab at his partner Wardlow.
Yeah. I thought it was good to kind of call back and remind us, you know, of that situation, because pretty much the same thing he told Cody, you have to get past Wardlow in that cage match before you get a shot at me. And Cody got past Wardlow when he really shouldn't have. So teasing maybe early dissension between MJF and Wardlow as well.
Maybe planting the seeds for a potential something in the future. But we moved on quickly to the opener of this great show with Omega and the Young Bucks, who to hell with everyone else, just give them those trios titles if they really are made, cap that whole super elite thing off, because they're really good together. But they also, they faced Dante Martin and the Sydal brothers, and Dante Martin, man, he really shined last night. Really just good stuff. And everyone was really happy with him. And yeah, he was sick. He was good.
Bro, it was at times I was watching this guy and the stuff he's doing is fast paced stuff, but he's so smooth that he's doing it in slow motion. It looks like,
yeah,
like at times it just looks like he's walking in the air. Like
it does.
Incredible yeah. talent, like absolutely incredible. His performance stole the entire show for me. Like it was, you know,
for sure.
Literally, it's just so good. And I'm there thinking about his brother that's obviously injured right now. He's been injured for a while.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, your brother's left you. Your brother's excelling. He's getting better while you're sitting on the shelf. Obviously, you know, hope you get better soon. I just feel like Dante Martin's just excelling.
Oh, he's eclipsed his brother, who's older.
Yeah.
He's mad. Yeah, it really sucks for Darius that he got injured, but he's coming back to, like, seriously, like, an amazing, like, Dante's sick, dude. And this match with the Elite was great. But he was definitely the best man, probably, like, him and Omega. He was, like, standing toe-to-toe with Omega. And at 19 years old, like, that's freaking crazy. What were you doing at 19, you know?
Literally.
Drinking beer in college, being an idiot, not doing this, but that's for sure. Yeah, this match was pretty solid. But as we said, you know, Dante Martin kind of stole the show. I mean, the Sydal brothers did okay. It was just a solid opener. And it got towards the end where Kenny was kind of squaring off with Dante. And these two were going back and forth. And where he really shined, it was Kenny, he hit him with a V-trigger. And then he tried a one-wing angel on Dante. But Dante was able to get out of that. And Kenny, you know, he did a little bit of a counter. And you're like, oh, my God, he got out of the one-wing angel. Kenny hit another V-trigger, though, and put Dante away with the one-wing angel. And then they weren't done yet. The Bucks and Kenny did the BTE V-trigger combination on Dante Martin to put him out. So the Elite got the win with that. But it was not an easy win. And, you know, the moral of the story is Dante came out looking the best. And I think he's got a bright future.
Yeah, Omega definitely done his bit to, you know, make this young man shine as well. Really sold like the near falls and stuff like that.
That's what Omega does so well. Those near falls, he's like the best at that.
Yeah, really was a phenomenal opening match. And like we said, you know, Dante Martin, absolutely shining. Give him more matches. You know, I know he's young and he can still have time to build up and get to the whatever point or pinnacle, you know, and obviously his brother Darius is to come back. But this guy, give him more kind of these spotlight matches with a couple wins maybe here and there on Dynamite. He's gonna be brilliant.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I agree with that. But after the match is really what the crux of the storyline happened. Don Callis came out and Don is, he's so good at drawing heat from the crowd. He insults Pittsburgh. He's just ready to go. But Christian Cage comes out to that music. He comes out. My cousin's like, I was like, yo, look at this. And he's like looking at him. And I was like, you don't recognize him? He's like, oh, is that Christian? What? Like, he doesn't have that long hair anymore. I was like, no, that's Christian. Yeah. But he came out and Callis called Christian a Stamford stooge, which was a great line. Says you're outnumbered. What are you doing here? You're not going to get a fight with us. But Christian calls Jurassic Express out, his new friends, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. And they're back in the ring after the commercial break. Cage says that he now has an official title shot for Kenny Omega at All Out for the AEW world title. However, he said that, you know, there's more than one belt, right? And he wants the Impact title as well. He knows he can't get that at All Out, so he challenges Omega for an Impact title shot this Friday at the debut episode of Rampage. And Tony Khan has apparently signed off on that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting two, like the poster of our post said, two title shots for Christian as of now. There might be some swerve, might be some stuff going on. We don't know. But Impact title on Friday and All Out the world title. Let's get your initial thoughts on this because you're shaking your head. I know you got something to say.
I mean, you know how I feel about Christian. I've went from not wanting to see him at all to now Christian getting two title shots. Ah, come on. Like, let's unpack this, because you're top of the rankings. So you're number one contender. I get that. I believe in that. That's fine. That's what the rankings is there for. You are the AEW number one contender for that title. Not a lot of people want to see that be the all-out match. It looks like it is the all-out match. So we just have to respect it. But Christian being the number one contender for Impact, what's the maths behind that? How did we get there? Because it looks like he just asked Scott D'Amore a favor or something, and that's what they've granted. Like, what's what the Impact have been doing number one contenders matches for the past few months to face Kenny Omega. So
you
how
have
did
to
we
win
just
a
get
match
to
get to Omega?
Yeah. So Impact. How did we just get to Christian becoming the number one contender here? And, you know, like we've kind of discussed, the chances are he may beat Omega.
Yeah, I think he will.
For the Impact World title, but then lose the AEW title match. And it's just like, okay, yeah, he's like an Impact original, TNA original. So it kind of makes sense. I'm not too mad at it, like, but I just feel like, how did he get two title matches, two title shots? That's not really been explained. And if you're going to say that the rankings, you know, works for both belts, I think that's a bit lame.
I agree with that. And, you know, this is an AEW podcast, but I got a lot of love for Impact. I watch Impact weekly. I think it's a great show, but you're right. There's guys who have been really, really trying for that belt, like Moose, Callahan, Cardona, Brian Myers, Rich Swann. They all like really have been working hard for it. And then Christian kind of came and was like, I'm next. Like, it's like Goldberg.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it would have made a lot more sense if Scott D'Amore came to the ring, was like, listen, Christian, like, you're an original from TNA. You know, we'd be honored to have you try to represent our brand. So here, if you want a title shot, you know, we're going to sign off on that as well. Just some kind of explanation to everybody of Christian's history with the promotion, because I think that's why he got the title shot, but it just wasn't explained, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But so you have him winning on Friday. Let's see. Let's get a little prediction.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah. I think there's going to be a title change on that show. Fuego Del Sol is not beating Miro.
Oh man, and... I don't want to talk about
it. And Britt Baker's not gonna lose to Red Velvet.
No way,
so,
no way.
Yeah, maybe Omega is gonna be the guy to, you know, put over Christian, give him the Impact World title. And with obviously all the talent that we've seen coming in recently, all the new talent that's rumored to join soon, maybe this is a way to just shift Christian over to Impact show a bit more, so he won't have to be on Dynamite so much in the next couple of months. So it's almost kind of, you know, making a bit of room for these new talents coming in, the alleged CM Punks, the alleged Daniel Bryans, Andrade that's there already, Malakai Black that's there already, making a bit more room for these guys. Christian can go over to Impact and do some work in Impact for a couple of months.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, honestly, like, this is a lot of like WWE guys coming in. And that's cool, you know, because, you know, we're always calling out that argument that, you know, people aren't like WWE for life. You know, they go to other promotions, you know, it's fine to sign people. But, you know, I'm just worried, like, there's guys that I really like. There's like Cassidy, the Best Friends. I really like Janela.
But it's
Sean
to create, it's
like,
to
what's
create
gonna
space.
Happen to these guys? Yeah,
it's to create space for those guys as well, bro. Like, I truly do think, like, you know, they might have Christian for a period of time. And then, like I say, he goes over to Impact, and then these guys can get that kind of spot back as well. Because I don't want to see Christian taking up Jungle Boy's time, I don't want to see him taking up Orange Cassidy's time. Joey Janela, I loved his matches early in AEW.
Yeah, I hope they do something like that with him again.
Those,
you know,
hardcore matches, the non-disqualification matches. Obviously, we saw him have, he's got a bit of a storyline right now with Sonny Kiss. Yeah, I want to see those guys get their opportunity again amongst all the big name talents coming in. So yeah, if it means for me, like I said, I'm not interested in Christian at all. But if this means Christian's going to go and spend more time on Impact and I'm not going to see him on AEW for these other guys, then yeah, let's do it. Let's send Christian over to Impact and create more space on the show for who I do want to see.
And then also, you know, this could be the start of the fall for Kenny Omega because, you know, he does this on Friday. And then on Saturday, he's facing Andrade at Triple Mania for AAA for the Mega Championship.
Is that this Saturday?
I believe so. Yeah. People were all saying on my live last night, are you watching Triple Mania? You're watching. So it's either this Saturday or next Saturday. It's coming up. And
I think Victor said it here in the chat. Kenny is defending the Impact title this Friday. Then on Saturday, he's defending the AAA Mega Championship. Wow. Wow, the mice may be coming soon.
Yeah, man. Wow. So we'll see about that. But
Andrade's winning that for sure. For sure.
Right? Like, well, honestly, I would have said no, he's not. But now this whole Friday thing, I would say probably now, yeah, he's probably gonna lose two belts in a week.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Also, Jurassic Express, ladies and gentlemen, will have a title shot against the Young Bucks next week, which hell yeah, they deserve that shit. So,
what do you think about that? Just like an early prediction.
I think they got a great shot, really. And I know that they moved. You know why that they're getting a shot, right? I mean, I'm not going to touch on this too much. I really don't want to talk about it. But another team got removed from the rankings.
Was that the Max Caster?
Yeah.
Stuff? Oh, okay.
So that makes
these guys number one contenders.
I thought it was the Blondes, but I guess.
Yeah,
I guess they moved up to one. Yeah, so I think they have a shot. What about you?
Yeah, it's very interesting, especially if we're going to see a bit of a demise for Kenny Omega, then maybe the Bucks demise, you know, happens too. Who knows? But I don't know. The tag team belts have kind of felt secondary to everything the Bucks have been doing recently.
They're so good, like, and the whole Elite, Super Elite, so good. Like, I mean, it looks great with all that gold, but they're relevant with or without a championship.
But they do look brilliant with it.
Yeah, it looks freaking sick. And also, Archer is facing Tanahashi on Saturday. Saturday is crazy, man. Moxley's facing the Good Brothers.
The New Japan Strong Show.
Yeah, the U.S. show, which, I'm a big New Japan fan. Everyone knows that. But everything that they've done in the U.S. has been far superior to what they've been doing in Japan, which is basically unwatchable. So, if you guys are going to watch that, that's, you know, Moxley's got a mystery partner coming in. Who knows? Good Brothers are going to be there. Maybe Kenny takes a shot there. Who knows? So, crazy weekend coming up, though.
We shall see.
Mm-hmm. How about some new guys on the block accompanying Daniel Garcia 2.0? Who I guess been getting kind of a push, and I think they're pretty funny. They took on Darby Allin with Sting. So Daniel Garcia versus Darby Allin, some indie darlings, as y'all like to say it. You know, Darby had a little bit of an issue this week, but he looks like it didn't really affect him. He's here, so we'll move on for that. What'd you think of Garcia?
Garcia looks very good. I can see right now he's everyone's, you know, flavor of the month. Everyone's talking about Daniel Garcia looks good. Pairing with Daniel Bryan when Daniel Bryan comes in, and Wheeler Utah, pair them together and all that kind of stuff. Everyone's loving Daniel Garcia and Wheeler Utah right now. He looks incredible for such a young guy, such technical prowess in everything that he does. His skills, you can see it.
He's like Sabre Jr.
Yeah, literally. Same kind of build as well.
Yeah.
He's really, really impressive. But yeah, Darby right now, he ain't gonna lose a match. They're building him for Mr. Punk if Mr. Punk decides to come in. So
cult match, of though. Personality.
Big tune, man.
Man, definitely a big tune. But I agree with this. Garcia and Darby had a great technical match. So Darby does those crazy spots, man, but he could go technical too. And Victor says Daniel Garcia is a beast. He's like Minoru Suzuki. They do have similar outfits. Yeah. And this moveset was really reminding me of Minoru too. At one point in the match, he had this like crazy submission that I've never seen. It was like a full Nelson with his legs. Ridiculous. But Darby obviously got the win. He hit a stunner into a coffin drop for the pinfall. And then that 2.0 team, they got their ass kicked by Sting. And they are pretty funny. I like them. I like these guys.
Yeah, they've been funny, even in NXT. Like, they were not getting showed much. Then all of a sudden, they were kind of just being put over so much because of their comedic chops. And then next week, we're going to see 2.0 taking on Sting and Darby in a tornado tag match, which is always going to be fun seeing Sting in action. So,
what's the definition of that again? I'm kind of going blank on that.
What do you mean?
The tornado. I haven't heard that.
It's like everyone in the ring. There's no tagging.
Okay. So no tag rules. Interesting. Okay. Cool. We had a Death Triangle promo after this. And man, they just like want Andrade. They don't want Andrade. And then we got Chavo being like, listen to Andrade. And then we have Pac being like, get away from them. I'll kick your ass and I'll face you at All Out. First of all, like, this storyline's okay, but how are you feeling about, you know, Andrade and Chavo? Like, because it's kind of like mixed right now. People are like, oh, the Andrade's not really working as well. Like, Malakai's doing so much better. And like, why is Chavo there? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I said it last week that Andrade's start in AEW has been pretty slow. I think definitely everything Malakai Black has done already has made Andrade's start look even slower than, you know, it may have been. But yeah, I think this is probably what they wanted to start off with for Andrade anyway. What's his face? Pac has been in and out of England, in and out of the US. Now that he's around, that's why they've, you know, they've certified, this is going to be the All Out match. I still want to see Penta and Rey Fénix join Andrade. I think the fit would just be absolutely perfect.
I think it will,
I think, you know, Andrade and Chavo, they're calling, Andrade's calling himself the boss, but the question is, who is he the boss of? So he needs some people under him, you know, to really prove he's the boss. So I think, yeah, if he can get some names under him, even if it's not Penta, Rey Fénix, that'll be interesting. But Pac versus Andrade on pay-per-view is going to be brilliant.
Yeah, that potential show stealer right there.
Absolutely fantastic match. So yeah, man, looking forward to that.
It's actually interesting. I bought like joggers from the Tokon shop for New Japan. I got LIJ joggers and they came in the mail and I opened them up and the logo, I was looking at it and I've seen it before and I looked at it again. I was like, that's literally Andrade's like pinstripe suit outfit. Like it was exactly like Andrade is the best dressed man in all of wrestling for sure. It just looks like a million bucks and I can't wait for this match with Pac for real. It's going to be awesome.
Victor Punk says here, AEW wants their own version of the Legado del Fantasma. For those that don't know, that's like a Hispanic faction right now on NXT. Yeah, with Santos Escobar leading Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde. So yeah, he could do with something that looks like that, in my opinion, as well.
Yeah, I think a faction will come, so just stay tuned for that. We had a Best Friends versus Wheeler Yuta, Best Friends and Wheeler Yuta, versus Hardy Family Office and Private Party. Combo that I really like. I like Wheeler Yuta and the Best Friends. It's a cool combination. And Wheeler's definitely, a lot of people, like you said, are hot on him and Daniel Garcia at the same time. This was okay. I'm just, you know, it was a solid match. I thought the Best Friends and Wheeler did well, and my man Orange Cassidy, but Matt Hardy did well. But like, I don't know. I'm just like, Private Parties kind of went down a few notches in my book. Like, they were really, really hot, like doing awesome, and like Isaiah.
Went to Impact and came back, and the Hardy stuff. I'm 100% with you, bro. It's all a bit. And I think the word that I was going to use for this and the whole match, it was just it's just a bit too clunky.
It was like a kind of a blur as well. I was like, what? I don't
know. Yeah, it's just a bit too clunky. The whole Hardy Family Office thing, horrible name, too many people involved.
I don't like it anymore, man.
It's just a bit too clunky. There's just far too much going on there. They don't win enough. They won today, but they don't win enough generally. so you don't get interested. They're just perennial losers. I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. It's just a mid-card faction.
I just don't think it's really working. I was thinking about this. I really want to see, honestly, don't jump on my case with this. I'd rather see the factory work than this work. So, like, seriously, like the factory, I know a lot of people don't like QT Marshall, but, you know, we got Nick Camarado, Aaron Solo, and Agogo, and these are all young guys, prospects. Like, I want to see them really work out, and I don't really care about the Hardy family office working out as much. I'm just going to be honest.
I want to see Isaiah Scott and Mark Quinn do well.
They were so good.
I want to see Hybrid. Is it what's their name? Hybrid 2?
And Helico and Evans, yep.
Yeah, I want to see them do well because they're very talented as well. I think just together, all together, it just doesn't work. No. But I like the guys and stuff individually, but
Hardy as well. Like, not to dog on him at all. He had a great match with Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was cool.
I'm just not into them all together. I just think it's too many people. Because they're tag teams as well, that's why it's just like there's all of a sudden there's hella more people in here than there should be.
But yeah. Pandemonium, hard to follow. That's our take on that match. We had actually a surprisingly good match that came up next, and I wasn't expecting much from it, but it was Nyla Rose versus Chris Statlander. I was like, I'm just like kind of tired of seeing Nyla right now. I'm really hot on Chris Statlander. I think she's great, but they actually had a pretty good contest. I'm not going to lie. Like, bell to bell, it's good. Nyla attacked early, shoulder tackle. She put in some work for Statlander. And then Statlander did something crazy. Like, got on all of she did a handstand and Nyla speared her, and I was like, oh, like, yes. And then we saw Statlander fight back a little more, hit a few power bombs, and then like that area 451 splash, which looks beautiful. She got the pin, she beat Nyla, and that was cool. It was just a quick match, but it was a good match, and I really like Chris, man.
Bro, this was like the matches we get, a Paul Heyman style matches they're getting called these days. Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg, just two big people, big women in this case, going at each other for like 5 minutes, just, you know, from bell to bell, big move, big move, big move, big move, big move, winner. Like, it was really fun in that respect. Chris Statlander is someone that they can definitely put in front of Britt Baker and have a good championship match with Britt Baker before we get the inevitable Thunder Rosa Britt Baker, you know, coming back around for the AEW Women's World Championship. But I think for Nyla, she's gone down the pecking order. Let's start seeing some new ladies involved there at the top.
For sure. But good, good match for Statlander, though. And not a bad performance from Nyla, so we'll give her credit where credit's due. But I agree with that. We had a Young Bucks promo. They can't get rid of the basketball. It seems like they just love it now. So they're holding the basketball, said that they took out Hangman and the Seidel brothers. Now they're going to take out whoever. Nick tries to do a layup. He says, it's easy as a layup, everyone. And he goes up for the layup, and then just Luchasaurus comes in, bam, stops the shot. And I thought that was hilarious. I lost it. Match next week. How about crazy moment of the night, Britt Baker's hometown entrance?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
I was thinking, like, this woman is a superstar. She is brilliant. And I think we've all known for some time now how good Britt Baker is. But in front of that hometown crowd, when they all whipped out their yellow towels, I said, forget this. She has this whole place on smash. Mm-hmm. She has the whole building on lock. Like, she's a star.
Yeah,
she's
dude.
She's just an absolute star. And she just looked the part, even in her black and gold jacket. And
everything.
The crowd ate her up. Tony Schiavone literally, you know, laid up everything so nicely for her. She came out and done like a face promo. She didn't kind of poo-poo on the crowd, even though she's a bit of a, I guess she's a bit of a tweener character, you know, said that this is like, she held up the belt when she said this is that icon for hope. Mm-hmm. After a bad year and all this kind of stuff, the crowd absolutely ate it up.
She's not afraid to step up when the city needed her the most.
Yeah, like all of that kind of hero stuff. Like, she's
Batman.
Absolutely brilliant. She's brilliant.
Yeah, this is sick. I can't wait for tomorrow. Hometown title defense against Red Velvet tomorrow. They were booing Red Velvet. So Red Velvet came out after and attacked Britt Baker. And, you know, Red Velvet's a face, but when you attack the hometown wrestler, you're going to get booed. So that's what happened. And I'm pumped for this match. I think it's going to be really good. And it's main eventing. So hell yeah for the women's division. I think it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, it should be really fun with her and Red Velvet.
This was my match of the night that came up. The Impact tag title match with Scott D'Amore, the vice president of Impact Wrestling on commentary, Stu and Evil Uno versus the Good Brothers. This was really, just really good. This was awesome. And like I said, I watched my uncle and my cousin and they were like, oh man, Uno and Grayson, these guys are awesome. Like, especially Uno, like they just did so well. Like, man, I really, really like this match. The first time that the Impact tag titles were defended on AEW, first time an Impact title was defended on AEW, rather. And they did really well. And I thought that they had a shot, man. I thought like maybe
I thought they were going to do it. I thought, you know, and Grayson were going to win it. I honestly thought that. I thought, oh, that would be so good for these guys as well, because it's not to say they're far down the pecking order in on AEW, but Impact would just be a nice little home for them, you know, for the next month or so, have some good tag matches on Impact. I absolutely love Uno and Stu Grayson together. And Stu Grayson,
so good.
He's just, yeah, he's unbelievable in the ring. I really thought they were going to do it.
I thought they were too. Uno hit some unbelievable moves. And for a big guy, super impressive. Grayson is just, he's awesome too. But they couldn't stop the Good Brothers, man, unfortunately. Doc Gallows distracted the ref. Carl hit a gun stun on Uno, and then they hit a magic killer on Stu, and that was the end of it. So the Good Brothers, they won, retained those Impact Tag Team Championships. They'll be wrestling on Saturday, but I don't think the titles are on the line. So they're going to be wrestling Moxley and someone of his choosing. So we'll wait to see for that. Fire segment. I loved this. QT Marshall comes out to apologize to Tony Schiavone. Oh my God, dude. QT says that, you know what? You should have apologized to me instead. Said he's not going to apologize for pouring the protein shake on you, Tony. He's going to apologize for beating Tony's loser son who wants to be a wrestler. His name is Chris, who's in the front row. They drag him. Camarado drags him into the ring. And then QT makes Tony apologize. Tony starts begging, and then they diamond cuttered Chris. And then, what happened?
Yes, Paul White came down to the ring, took his sweet, sweet time, walked down, took off his watch, stuck it in his pocket, got into the ring, and QT Marshall basically fed Aaron Solo to him for the choke slam. Looks like we are not too far from getting Paul White wrestling a match, maybe against QT Marshall.
You'll feed QT to Paul White. that was a really good segment. And Paul White has Tony Schiavone, his commentator on Dark Elevation. He's got his back fully. He's not going to let anybody do that to Tony or his son. And I like that. I really like that. And that show Sam looked cool. He looked like a boss coming down the ring. Just really cool, man. He also looks like he's in pretty good shape too. So I would agree. We'll probably get in a match soon.
Yeah, probably at All Out or something. Good little reminder for some of us that don't watch Dark Elevation that, you know, Paul White still works for the company. Because even his music hit, obviously I'm not familiar with his music. It was new.
I don't think he's ever entered to this before.
Yeah. So when it hit, I was just like, what's that? And then I saw the No More BS thing. I was like, oh yeah, this guy, I forgot this guy works here now.
Honestly, so, it's unfortunate that you bring that up because it's true, and we've mentioned this multiple times, but yeah, like they made Dark Elevation with the intention that this is going to be like a really hot Monday night product. We got Paul White on commentary, and it just turned out that the Tuesday Dark, you can't beat Taz and Excalibur. And for some reason, the wrestling has been more solid there. I don't get it. This week, there were a 4.25 star match I rated for QT Marshall versus Alan Angels on Dark. It was an excellent match. Then on Monday, we had 40 minutes of a show with no match going more than 2 minutes, all squashes. And it was like, this sucks. Like, they need a reform on Monday. If they're going to stick with Elevation and you brought in Paul White and you're paying him all this money, probably paying him a lot of money, like, please do something a little bit different with this, right?
Yeah, I just failed to see the point of the show. I don't know. They definitely need to restructure it, especially with Rampage coming. This is another hour of show, another hour of programming to their week. Just get rid of Dark. If you want to keep Dark Elevation, get rid of Dark and just make Dark Elevation a really good show.
Dude, yeah. One of these weeks, like when you have a minute, like, I don't know, I would mark down this week to watch. If you're going to go back and watch any of them and just like do like a little bit of the Elevation and do a little bit of the Dark, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see the difference in how weird it is. It's just very odd. But like, seriously, shout out to Taz and Excalibur. Like, they are such a good commentary team.
They're brilliant. Yeah,
dude, Taz is freaking hilarious. We also, moving on before we get to the main event, ladies and gentlemen, we had Proud and Powerful and FTR. They had a little bit of a promo. They are not done. They still are very upset at each other. You know, Cash Wheeler got injured, and that was really good for the storyline because they want to go at it. So maybe at All Out, we're going to have something between those two teams. We also had a Red Velvet promo. She said that she has to prove herself and she wants to do it on Friday. Says she's 22-4, won the last 7 matches. Granted, those are on Dark Elevation. And she does not have to cheat to win. She will show everyone how good she is at the debut of Rampage. Moving along, Andrade, he also cut a promo, said Pac is ungrateful. He says that Pac should be careful. Chavo suggests that Pac be taught who's boss. And Andrade and him will have a match at All Out. So those are the promos, basically, when we got through most of the matches.
There's one promo that you haven't mentioned.
Was it Malakai?
Malakai's, yeah, we saw that one, like a pre-recorded one. And Miro.
Miro, okay.
So Miro, obviously, he's got his TNT title defense against Fuego del Sol happening on Rampage. If Fuego wins, not only does he win the TNT title, he becomes a member of the AEW roster.
Yeah, right.
It's a contract. It's a nice little stipulation for him there. I've got a comment here from Underground. Underground says, what's with Miro's TNT title defenses? Outside of Lance Archer, they've been a bunch of nobodies. At least give him someone like, I don't know, Luchasaurus. What do you think? Because there's definitely some truth in the quality of guys that are getting TNT title shots. And I guess, yes, the idea is just for Miro to squash them somewhat, look dominant. But would you prefer more high-level guys where you can say Miro versus like say Pac and it's like, oh, who's actually gonna win this? Or do you like the squash thing that Miro is currently doing?
I do like what he's currently doing for sure, but I do want him to face some more high level opponents. The reason I think it's fine that I'm kind of fine with this right now is like we said, I think last week, I think that he's gonna have a really long title reign. So I think like they're just doing it slow, like building up, like he's just taking out all these opponents and then they're going to start maybe getting some more competitive guys. But I don't think he's losing this belt anytime soon. So like, I'm okay with not feeding him like top level talent and then like having nobody to challenge. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the same. He's using these smaller guys and these lower level guys now to build up this character of the Redeemer and all that.
Yeah, that too.
which he's doing really well. So yeah, I think it's not before too long we're going to start seeing some of the bigger names come after him and him really putting the sword to them. Obviously, I don't know if you saw in the last couple of days where NXT Bronson Reed was released.
Yeah, Bronson Reed. Rock. A lot of guys released.
And he's called out. He's called out Miro. He's called out Miro that he wants mm-hmm. Miro. He done like some Twitter post and subliminally wrote in the Twitter post, "Give me Miro."
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I know. I saw that. Yeah.
So yeah, maybe if he gets called in for a one-off, we might see a big kind of hoss fight, which could be fun. But yeah, other than that, I think Miro's doing the right thing now.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want like Archer to go up against him again, like something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Yeah, these guys can take the loss. But
yeah.
Main event time, ladies and gentlemen. Five labors of Jericho, the fourth labor. Jericho versus Wardlow with MJF in the corner. And I don't know, man. This was the weakest of the four. Like, this, I thought Sean Spears did better than Wardlow. Like, this kind of sucked, dude.
Bro, we said this last week or 2 weeks ago after we watched the Nick Cage one. Nick Gage, it was all about, where are they going with this now? With Nick Gage, with Juice. It's like, okay, wow, you've brought this guy in. Wow, you've brought this guy in. And then you said Wardlow. And then we all just went, It's like the
nothing against Wardlow, but
absolutely, yeah, and absolutely nothing against Wardlow. But it's like the balloon of hope just deflated because it's like you're bringing in all these guys. The Wardlows and Sean Spears should have been first. And then we should have built to Juventud Guerrero. Then we should have got Nick Gage, and then we maybe should have got somebody else. Like, I'm even annoyed that the fifth labor is MJF. I was under the impression that it was five people, five labors, and then MJF.
That doesn't make sense that it is MJF, because I thought it was, like you said, five labors to face MJF.
Exactly. That's what it was. That's what they said, but they've kind of twisted their tune. Maybe they've ran out of people they can call or something. I don't know.
But, no, they didn't. They just got lazy.
They got lazy. But I mean, that's what they, when they first, you know, told us about the five labors, they said it's five labors, and if you win the five labors, you get me. Not that I am the fifth labor. So this is kind of, you know, it's went out a bit sad. Wardlow, he looked good initially in the match, but then obviously Wardlow was never going to win. And we knew that. We knew Chris Jericho was always going to find a way to win this match. And he did. And yeah, it was weak. Like you said, the Sean Spears match was probably better than this. The, you know, I'm still loving the Judas effect off the top rope from last week that he done in the Hoovy match. And then obviously the Nick Gage match was just a fantastic match in this series. So
yeah, that was dope. Still can't get
over
that.
it's kind of just, and now I think what MJF versus Chris Jericho is going to be on TV next week.
TV
it's
going to be on All Out. Terrible stipulation. Did you hear about the stipulation
that he can't use Judas?
He can't use the Judas effect, and he's not going to enter the Judas effect. Like, what?
They've messed this up. They have messed this up completely.
Colossally. Like, oh. Like, what? He's not like a superhero that feeds off the song Judas and like gets energy points that way. Like, it's just a song. Like, people like to sing it for him. Like, I get it. It's cool. It's his. But like, what? And like the Judas effect. Like, I know he's won every match with it. But man, like, there are so many cool wrestling match types, stipulations, different kinds of rules and combinations that they have never done, and that they could try something new with. You know, and they just didn't do that. Man, like, I would even like to see them, like, just go back in a cage or something like that. Like, or just something a little bit different. It's just a match with no Judas. And they've already done this, dude, with Moxley and the Paradigm Shift. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. And Moxley still used it, didn't he?
Used it anyway, yeah, dude. And MJF still says he's undefeated. But, dude, also, apart from the stipulation, the whole thing, Wardlow used five power bombs in a row. Like, all throughout the commercial, it was just powerbomb, powerbomb. My uncle and my cousin were like, what is going on with him? Like, why does he keep doing that? Like, dude, you're not going to get the pin with that. Why are you using five power bombs? Then like this whole thing of like MJF gets on the apron and he like tries to like hand the diamond and Aubrey gets in his face. Jericho sneaks in the bat shot, which he missed the bat shot. Like it was so, like, okay, I get it. Like you're not supposed to hit a guy in the face with the bat, but like you missed it. And then you missed the Judas effect basically. And then you pinned Wardlow. It just didn't look good. And I wasn't a fan of this match really at all.
And Peyton's just reminded us here in the chat as well. The fans aren't allowed to sing the Judas next week. They's not going to be a theme tune or anything entering. But yeah, obviously the fans are going to sing him all the way to the ring. Mm-hmm. That's so obvious. So
they're studying right now. The fans with the tickets next week. They got the lyrics printed out. They're ready to go.
Exactly. So Victor says here that, you know, Jericho has the Walls of Jericho and Coldbreaker. So yeah, he's got other moves, which will be more than enough to beat MJF in my opinion.
But will he? I don't think he will. Know. I think this is like his retirement tour, kind of, maybe, or like his slowing down tour.
Even the fact that this is ending on TV and not on pay-per-view is just like, what is this? Why is this all of a sudden went from being super important, main event in shows, you guys getting in trouble for using pizza cutters on each other's head? We've went from that level of importance to this is just ended on TV now.
And what's MJF going to do it all out?
Don't know.
Are they going to swerve us with something else? I mean, what's going on? What's going on
here? I saw someone say today maybe they're going to do MJF and Wardlow at All Out.
But if Wardlow just joined the Pinnacle...
Yeah, it's far too early. Like they had, a little bit of, you know, MJF making fun of him the other, you know, because he didn't win. But like, it's too early. It's far too early.
I mean, yeah, we'll just see. On the TV thing, it's disappointing. And, you know, All Out, the only reason I could think for this and Christian going against Omega is maybe that they have something up their sleeve with one of these signings or maybe somebody coming in that they don't want it to overshadow certain things. That's what
we were saying, I think, last week. CM Punk coming in is probably the reason why the Hangman match isn't happening at All Out, because they don't want it to overshadow anything. Like, so,
and Tanahashi, I think didn't Moxley challenge him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tanahashi, Moxley on the card. I think that's just waiting to be confirmed, but it's looking like that.
I still would have liked to see MJF Jericho. I don't think that's too much to ask for, so, you know. Yeah.
But it doesn't look like, unless the TV match, you know, ends in some type of funny stuff and then it goes onto the pay-per-view card.
Yeah, right. Like a time limit draw, which never has happened, but we always talk about it.
Maybe something like that, or a dusty finish. We'll see. But right now these five labors have finished in a very underwhelming way.
Yeah, man. Wow. Went.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Dynamite. How about we get into these questions? Cap it off.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, Peyton Privatera, my boy. I'm actually meeting him this weekend. We're going to a show together in New Jersey. How about that? Nice. That's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So this community, it's pretty cool. Pretty great group of people on here. He asks, will Chris Schiavone's debut match be a tag match with the Big Show? I didn't even know that Chris was a wrestler. I knew Tony had a son that was into wrestling, but I didn't even know about this. Apparently, he might be training. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think? Is Big Show's match going to be a tag match, or is he going to go single against QT?
I think he'll go single. I think he'll go single against QT. I don't think we saw enough to see if this guy has any wrestling chops or anything like that.
No, and also now that you mentioned that on Elevation, QT, like Big Show hates QT. Sorry, Paul White, he hates QT. Like, he like buries him every week. He's like, oh, I'm sick of this guy. Like, I can't believe he did that to you. Like, that's so low. Like, you never touch a commentator. Like,
okay. So they've been building it slowly.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah. And this is Paul White's first match in AEW. So I'm sure it'll be a singles match.
For sure. Wrestle in Peace, R-Pit. He asks, Brian is coming to AEW. So how about him, Lee Moriarty, Garcia, and Yuta form a team of grapplers? The grappling team.
Yeah. This is what I was saying. The whole world has been saying this stuff for the last week. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Danielson kind of get a couple of young guys underneath his belt and, you know, do something like that. But
did Danielson have a group on WWE?
There was some unofficial stuff that he tried to do similar to that with Drew Gulak.
Okay.
And I can't remember who the other person involved was. But Bryan Danielson's going to be a special, you know, attraction in AEW. Let's get the dream matches out of the way before he starts helping people.
Yeah, I'd like to see. I mean, even facing some of these guys, it would be great matches.
Yeah, yeah.
Mason asks, favorite year in pro wrestling as a whole? Man, I really, I gotta say, man, I've been watching since like 2000. Okay, but this year, 2021, with everything opening back up and going to these live shows and watching Dynamite, I gotta say, I'm loving it right now, man. I can't really think of any time I was more into it and enjoying it more than 2021. What about you?
I think for me, it was in recent times. This past year has been pretty decent, like you said. The WWE weekly product, which I watch, is obviously not as entertaining as
it's not up to par.
But I think it was 2017, 2018 when NXT was really hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah, they were hot.
Undisputed Era was hot. Shayna Baszler was down there. Andrade, Aleister Black, all of those guys were there. Ricochet. And then the inception of AEW was coming. And until those, you know, we got the All In show, mm-hmm. and then we got the announcement, and then we got, you know, early Dynamite shows.
And you had hot New Japan that year, like really good New Japan. Like, yeah,
that was some good stuff, man. But now everyone's kind of off and doing some good shows one week, another company does another good show another week. Mm-hmm. But wrestling was really hot, I think, 2018.
Yeah, it's almost like now, there's so much stuff and so much stuff available. Like it's very, you really have to pick and choose what you keep up with.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize that, like, you know, our Instagram pages are big, but this isn't our job, you know? It's just so much good stuff out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Literally.
Yep. I mean, those are the questions from my thing. We got any in the thing or.
We've been answering them. I'm just taking some of the comments I'm just seeing here before we get out of here. Underground says, five labors of Jericho. We have the forbidden door, don't we? May as well make sense with Hammerstone. Look, again, there's, you know, they could have used this forbidden door a bit more. I'm sure there could have been some guys in Japan we could have called on.
Even like Impact, like Moose would have been better. Like he's a big man, you know? Something like that.
There could have been some guys that they called upon, man. But they started well with the Shawn Spears match. That was pretty entertaining. They probably made a rod for their back the minute they started saying, let's bring Nick Gage and let's bring Juventud. Because that's when us as a crowd, we thought, oh, we were probably thinking we're just going to get the Pinnacle guys or whatever the case is after we saw Shawn Spears. And then when you bring in Nick Gage and you bring in Juventud Guerrero, you're thinking, okay, who's next? Who's next? Who's the next guy? And then it's Wardlow. And then the match isn't great. And then, it all kind of fell apart from there. So, it's been a bit of a letdown. But let's see where the MJF and Jericho match itself goes. And
Man, when you throw light tubes on the TV, it's hard to top that.
It's hard to top it. Victor Punk says here, before we get out of here, he said, this is the thing with AEW. They hyped up a story or a match and then messed up the ending, like the exploding match or the blood and guts match. I wouldn't say this is on the scale of those kind of mess ups. I just feel like, the minute you started inviting guys in, you just made this a lot of a, you know, you made it very put a lot of intrigue around it. And then, like you said, you haven't really followed through in terms of who you've actually delivered with us.
No, the exploding match is like up here, and then like maybe Blood and Guts, and then pretty far. I'm thinking, exploding match. Yeah. Crazy I was there for that. Crazy I was there.
Underground says MJF versus Sammy Guevara. Is that a match next week? Or I'm sure they announced this match for
Sammy's
something.
Fighting somebody, right?
Is it not MJF?
I don't know.
I'm sure they announced this match for something.
Again.
And then they said that Sammy Guevara's got like something to say or something.
It's a major announcement for Sammy Guevara. Let's see what else. I'm pulling it up as we speak. Sean Spears.
Yeah. Oh, Sean Spears. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. So yeah, maybe that could be an all-out match, MJF, Sammy Guevara.
That's a feud that we said that will last like for really like for years. For it's life. Like, but yeah, they hate each other.
Yeah. And Peyton says here, what will Gable Stevens' NXT name be?
Probably like Gable Derek Stevens. Hightower or something. Like
nah, man, they're not going to change his name. That's an Olympic gold medalist, bro. Yeah. I don't think they're going to change his name.
I hope not, man.
To tell the whole story of him being Olympic gold medalist, they've kind of got to keep that name, if that's the way they're going to go with it, you know? Mm-hmm. I think he keeps his name. Well done to Gable Stevenson. That was a...
Yeah, congrats. That was sick.
And Underground says would have been gold if MJF had Sammy Guevara be the Jericho Fifth Labor. Yeah, a lot of people, you know, thought that was where we were going with this as well.
Oh, like make him fight Sammy.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
they chose not to, I guess. They have chosen to go a different route with it, a different route with it. So, yeah. But, guys, that's today's show. Thank you very, very much for joining us, for those that joined us live on the YouTube. Please remember to smash the like button before you get out of here and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And for our audio listeners, please make sure you subscribe and follow us on your podcast platform of choice and leave us with a 5-star review. Rampage on Friday. We have to commit to it live on air. So, Mike, are we doing a podcast recording on Saturday to talk about Rampage from Friday night?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. You guys have heard it here first. So we will have an extra show coming on the podcast every week. Hopefully it will be on the YouTube, but we'll definitely be on the podcast too. So you guys listen out for that. Thank you very much, guys, for joining us. Mike, any last words before we get out of here?
I'm really pumped for tomorrow, and I'll see everybody on Friday. And maybe I'll be on live tomorrow, talking about what went down on this new show. So thank you, everybody.
Looking forward to it. It's gonna be good. 3 championship matches on that show. So
in an hour. So that's gonna be a boom.
Right? Literally, it's literally gonna be like a 3-hit combo, if you like. Mm-hmm. So yeah, guys, we will be back on Saturday with a show for AEW Rampage, and then of course back same time next week for AEW Dynamite. Speak to you guys then. Take care.
Remember to subscribe, follow, and leave a 5-star review.